Welcome, podcast listeners, to our second episode in our billing series for Physician Finance. In today's episode, we're going to be bringing back Phoebe and Kieran from the first episode, where we discussed billing more in general and the different ways in which you can complete your billings and the reasons for whether or not you go one way or another. I do recommend people go back and check that out. But in today's, we're actually checking out something, or we're diving a little bit deeper into how physicians actually get paid, where the money's coming from. This is super interesting to me, as anybody who's at least in Alberta should be interested in that it's been a hot topic politically. So I'm super excited to expand my knowledge. So before we jump in, Phoebe, Kieran, would you mind introducing yourselves and then giving a little bit of a background before we move forward?
Thanks so much for having us today, Joel. My name is Phoebe, and I work with Stacco. I've been with Stacco for about 4 years now. I handled all the daily physicians and any claims that come through, and I have a team of agents that I also work with who help and assist all of our clients. I know that billing and physician billing and understanding how the healthcare system work isn't a shiny topic, but I really truly feel this is an excellent topic to explore and discuss, and I'm pretty excited about it today.
Yeah, and I'm Kieran. I'm one of Phoebe's colleagues. I work closely with Phoebe, and basically on the product development side, so working with our technology team to develop the product that we have. You know, Stacco clients or people in the space are probably familiar. You know, Stacco has basically a software suite that helps clients do billing. So I work on developing that product. Like Phoebe mentioned, I think at first blush, how physicians get paid or, you know, the structure for compensation isn't that exciting, but I've certainly learned a lot in my time with the company about how it gets paid. And I think it's good for physicians to have an understanding, because when they walk into any sort of situation and the compensation structure is sort of explained to them, having the background helps understand where that fits in and what their options are. So yeah, happy to be here to talk about this one.
Yeah, no, this is definitely something I've been looking forward to. So to kind of kick off our deep dive here, would you guys mind answering the at least a misunderstood question of who pays physicians? Because, I mean, I sit beside my wife while she's kind of going through her billing software, and it's not just as simple as Alberta Health Services. So if you wouldn't mind kind of adding some color to that.
Yeah, definitely. I think many people, you know, many Canadians sort of understand our healthcare system as a public healthcare system, but it's actually better understood as a public health insurance system. So what that means is most Canadians are covered by some type of health insurance plan. And the way, you know, this goes back to constitutional reasons, but healthcare sort of falls under a provincial jurisdiction. So most of that healthcare is a provincial healthcare insurance. So if you live in BC or in Alberta or in Ontario, you're going to be likely insured by the provincial health authority in that province. But there are other programs as well. So there's federal health insurance plans that can cover, people like RCMP, military or federal inmates or refugees. So people who are not covered by provincial healthcare insurance plans. There's also worker compensation board plans. So, you know, if you're injured while you're on the job, there's actually specific insurance. It's also public, you know, or it's funded and administered by public bodies, but it's a different insurance plan. I think that's important to understand, because when physicians are actually doing fee-for-service billing, there's going to be a lot of different insurance plans that you need to submit claims to. And it's important to understand, you know, who is actually insuring your patient when you go to get paid.
Okay. All right. That kind of makes sense to me. Like a little bit. So when I think of Health Canada, I generally obviously think public healthcare. So tell me a little bit about, like, where does dental fall? Eye, cosmetic. Is all of this healthcare publicly funded, or is there a difference between the three, four things? What's going on there?
Yeah, definitely. So what I just talked about is, you know, sort of the public healthcare that we understand. I think most people know that not all healthcare is public. Some of the ones you talked about are obviously not public. So there's sort of a breakdown ratio. The ratio in Canada is towards publicly funded versus privately funded is about 70-30. So 70% of healthcare funding is goes through some type of public health insurance plan. The other 30% would be private insurance plans. So if you think about having a work plan that pays for your eye care or your prescription drugs, that would fall into that one. Or it can be out of pocket. So you mentioned cosmetic surgery, or if you think about people maybe from out of the country who travel here who get healthcare, that would fall into that 30%. It's interesting to compare Canada versus other countries. People might be surprised to hear the 70-30 ratio. In European countries, it can be higher towards public. So in Germany, Sweden, France, they're over 80% public. But Canada is pretty much on average. Among the wealthy countries, the OECD, it's 73% public. So we're just about average. And even the US, we have this perception of the US as a private healthcare system, but actually almost 50% of the healthcare in the US is publicly funded as well. So basically, we fall, as we usually do as Canadians, right in sort of the middle.
Yeah, that's super interesting, actually, because I got a bone to pick with the Americans. But I would never have thought that one third of our care was private. And I also would have probably never guessed that 50% of the healthcare in the US was public. So how does the insurance side of this work? I guess, to think that we have such great outcomes given how much we spend versus what the US is, there must be some aligned incentives here to make this work in at least a better fashion. So could you please, start with the healthcare insurance itself?
So most Canadian provinces actually have provincial healthcare plans. And while it can be broad across Canada, like Kieran had suggested earlier, there are provincial differences. So each province manages their own healthcare insurance plan. In BC, it's medical services. In Alberta, it's Alberta Healthcare Insurance Plan. In Ontario, it's the Ontario Health Insurance Plan. So when you have provincially administrated insurance programs, there are going to be differences between those provinces and how it works, and the compensation also to physicians and how it works and the coverage for those patients. If a physician lives in Alberta but also works in BC, they need to be licensed in both of those provinces. If your patient has healthcare coverage in BC but is in Alberta, they still can get their healthcare paid for by the BC government. There's just a different way that we have to submit for it.
Right. Okay. So this feels more relevant than ever, obviously, with the advancement of virtual care. The med tech industry is booming. I think you guys are a part of that space. So if physicians work in different provinces, they obviously need to be aware of the varying billing rules that each province has. Would you mind kind of building out that scenario for me?
Absolutely. Again, just as the provincial healthcare insurance plan is broadly similar, the rules around billing for those provinces is similar, but there are differences. There can be just compensation level differences. There can be the way that physicians are paid can be different. So in some provinces, fee-for-service compensation models. So it's like you do this amount, this work, you get paid X amount of dollars. They're paid for the service that they provide. In those scenarios, physicians would submit their codes and the healthcare insurer would pay for those services. But in other provinces, you might have more of a alternative remuneration plan in place. So this is more like a salaried position or way that the provincial health system pays those physicians. So it's more of like a standardized and fixed rate that those physicians are paid. in each province, they have loosely, I guess, was called like a schedule of medical benefits. It outlines what procedures are insured, the value for those procedures, and the rules and regulations around billing those.
Okay. So if I work for a fee-for-service model, I can get paid the same amount if I were to perhaps take 2 minutes with that patient or 30 minutes. Or if I'm working in surgery and it takes me 1 hour versus 3 hours, the pay changes, or like how does that work?
Yeah, so in a fee-for-service model, you know, as Phoebe mentioned, you get these different codes, and you're right. So you could spend 2 minutes with a patient, or you could spend 30 minutes with a patient. That's usually addressed in these schedules with modifiers. So, you know, if you have a consult with a patient, there's going to be a basic consult billing code that you submit. If that consult is particularly difficult or takes a particular amount, you know, over a certain threshold of time, there's a modifier that increases the value of the code. So, you know, these schedules can get quite complicated as they try and address different scenarios and try and make it fair for, you know, the physician and the plan to sort of address, you know, how much effort does the physician put in, how much expertise is involved, you know, how difficult is the case. These schedules basically try and adjust based on that, and you submit different codes with different modifiers based on the scenario.
Okay. All right. So let me try to spit this back at you. So there's so I could be under an ARP model where physicians get paid a fixed amount for time or for per patient, not mm-hmm. on a service or a procedure or via the procedure they provide. I could also have an amount that is negotiated up front, or there's the fee for service model and the alternative relationship plan or ARP model. So there's all these different, and I'm getting mixed up here, just trying to figure the different acronyms here. Which one of these is most common across Canada?
Yeah, well, let me just say, you got the summary right. You know, there's basically two models, fee-for-service or ARP, and they're just different ways of compensating, you know, physicians for the work that they do. And there's always a play between the two. You know, provinces are pushing one way or the other. And I think most physicians, you know, who are in practice know the benefits or pitfalls of either model. So if you're on a fee-for-service model, you know, you're paying attention, you know, to everything that you're doing. With an ARP model, you get more freedom, but maybe you're not compensated for some of the work that you do. Or if you're in a team, you know, it can be more challenging to motivate people for the, you know, the 3 a.m. work that needs to get done. In Canada, the breakdown, it varies by province, but it's roughly 3/4 fee-for-service, so 75% fee-for-service, 1/4 ARP. And that has been pretty stable over the last 10 years. So, you know, certain provinces go up or down or change their models, but generally that's sort of the breakdown between the two models.
Okay. So I'm somebody who pays probably too much attention to what provincial governments are doing. And it seems to me that they're frequently changing the administration in healthcare. Is there a general trend towards either fee-for-service or an ARP model, or am I misinterpreting kind of the trends?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the province, sort of what the chatter is towards it. And, you know, I talked about variations. Alberta, for example, has 90% of its clinical payments go through fee-for-service. So, you know, the vast majority is fee-for-service. And there's, you know, some chatter in the last year about, okay, changing compensation plans and maybe moving more towards ARP. In contrast, Nova Scotia is 50% on an ARP setup, 50% fee-for-service. So I think there's pushes different ways. And most physicians, you know, when you get into a particular specialty, you'll get to hear, you know, the rumors and the chatter about which way the government is trying to push compensation. But I think overall, what I would say is there's always chatter, but history tells us that it's not changing too much.
All right. That's super interesting. And I feel like I could probably talk to you guys both about the way in which Alberta has approached this, and even BC and in the past and Ontario. But so we began kind of talking about the provincial healthcare insurance. What about other public healthcare, and what is the difference between public and provincial healthcare insurance plans. To me, I didn't really quite grasp that.
For sure. So there is a small difference between those provincial healthcare systems and publics. Things that maybe would fall more to that public healthcare insurance would be things like Medavi Blue Cross. So Medavi Blue Cross actually is an insurance body that covers the healthcare costs for RCMP members, military members, federal inmates. They cover that cost as well, and refugees. And it can be a broad aspect of the coverages for those people. So for active military members, it's full coverage. Any healthcare coverage that they do receive has to be submitted to Medavi Blue Cross. If it's RCMP members or veterans, their healthcare coverage, it could be provincial or it could fall to Medavi Blue Cross. It depends on the status of that patient or that particular scenario that they are in. So you have to then, you know, double check in with Medavi Blue Cross about where they fall with that coverage.
Okay. All right. So that actually helps because, I mean, I was getting a little mixed up there. So for patients on other public healthcare insurance plans, you had mentioned that federal healthcare plans or WCB plans exist. So is there a difference in compensation to the provincial healthcare insurance or let's say in regards to fee-for-service and or ARP? Like, is there a difference between the types of people that you're working on or where they fall?
Typically not. So with Medavi Blue Cross, you typically submit using the provincial healthcare codes that you would use when submitting to the provincial healthcare insurance plan for the province that you're treating that patient. But or Workers' Compensation Board actually, especially in Alberta, actually works on a different fee structure. So they do something that is called unbundling of services. And so they pay a higher rate than services that could be billed to Alberta Healthcare Insurance Plan. And they do this to incentivize getting workers pushed through the healthcare system and treated and back to work faster. So Workers' Compensation Board does typically incentivize the treatment of the patients that are under that coverage. For Medavi Blue Cross, those patients, that should not change.
Okay, so what about, for instance, out of province healthcare insurance? Is there some nuance to that?
No, this is actually, and interestingly, it's basically the same as your provincial healthcare insurance plan. So all the provinces, for the exception of Quebec, have a medical reciprocal payment program set up with each other. So this means that if you had healthcare coverage from BC and you were in Alberta visiting your family, you fell and broke your leg and needed to go and have surgery, when the physicians that provided you care, they are going to actually bill Alberta Healthcare Insurance Plan using your BC healthcare number. And you're actually not going to have to do anything about this. And then Alberta will bill BC for the coverage and for the healthcare services that you incurred while being here.
Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like with the exception of Quebec, we're covered. If I get hurt somewhere else, I'm going to be fine.
You'll be fine.
So tell me a little bit about non-insured services.
So uninsured services are actually defined in the Canadian Health Act, which sort of breaks out what services must be insured by provincial healthcare insurance plans and what services are left to the private system. Now, provinces make their own decisions. They may include services that are defined as uninsured in the public insurance plan, but that's generally sort of the breakdown that we see. And I think most physicians and Canadians would be sort of similar with this list. So, you know, the basic breakdown is it's deemed not to be medically required. So that can be things as like cosmetic surgery. It does include things that maybe we might consider medically required, like dental services, eye care, prescription drugs, this type of thing. And then maybe, you know, support healthcare services. So you think about acupuncture, chiropractor services, massage therapy, this type of stuff. So there's kind of a list of services that, you know, if you think about your own healthcare, the type of thing that you're using your employment, you know, your employee paid healthcare insurance, or you're paying out of pocket for, that is uninsured services in Canada.
Okay. Okay. So I think we've done a pretty darn good job of kind of going through the different types of insurance plans, whether it be public, private, whether it's coming out of your pocket, whether or not you're uninsured. I mean, the differences in how people are rated and just based on what they do for a living, WCB, all of these different areas. And I mean, I think it's clearly quite complicated and a lot more nuanced than I ever would have guessed. But could you, I mean, I think we should probably talk a little bit about how these physicians that are having to sort through this whole situation, how do they even submit these claims?
I know it, you know, like there's been a lot of information that has come to you and it might seem really overwhelming, but there's actually a lot of indicators that help physicians when they see these patients, even at that point of care, to help determine who to bill and how to appropriately bill for that patient. And also hand in hand is having a biller that will help you as well. And also the clinic, maybe you work in a clinic, having clinic supports that will assist you with this. Most importantly, the majority of your claims are going to be fall under that provincial healthcare insurance plan. So you're going to have a billing system in place, whether it's through a clinic or you have a relationship with a biller. They're going to be able to submit those claims for, say, Alberta patients with no problems. If you have out-of-province patients, so in the scenario I gave before, you know, you're visiting from BC in Alberta, you have valid BC healthcare coverage. Again, those can easily be submitted through your biller or your clinic. Some additional information is required. So typically with out-of-province patients, you do have to provide like a full set of demographics. Again, do remember that Quebec is that exception, and Quebec does not fall into that category of being payable for out-of-province claims. Typically, when you see patients that have healthcare coverage in Quebec, you would actually have to directly bill the patient, and that patient would then submit that claim to the Quebec healthcare insurance, and then you would be paid whatever the Quebec healthcare insurance plan deemed appropriate. It is significantly lower than any of the other provinces. Other health insurance plans would WCB. So with WCB, typically you have to have a provider set up to bill your claims to WCB. This is a fairly simple process. Typically the patients, when they're WCB, you will know that because the surgeon will be made aware of that. You do need to have additional information such as their accident date, the surgery decision date, if that's applicable. For WCB claims, you do need to indicate the part of the body that was injured, the side, how it was done. Again, a good biller can help you with submitting those claims. For private patients, this is where it can get a little bit more complex. You may, at the point of care for this patient, identify that this person does not have healthcare coverage. So there's a couple different ways to approach that. It all depends on the circumstances. Typically having a conversation with that patient, if possible. Hopefully they have insurance documents, so getting copies of those. Maybe they're able to pay by credit card. Maybe a payment has already been arranged, say in cosmetic surgery cases. Again, billers will be able to help support in any of those sorts of situations.
Okay, so for the last, I don't know, call it 20 some odd minutes here, I've been taking some notes. I'm going to try and do a little bit of a recap here. So Canada has public healthcare insurance, and physicians are paid by those insurance plans. Each province has its own plan, which covers their residents within the province and across Canada. There are also federal healthcare insurance plans for the military, RCMP, inmates or prisoners or whatever, and refugees. And there's also private health care, which is about 30% of health care in Canada. That's kind of the gist of what I've learned today.
Yeah, that's a great summary, Joel. And I think, you know, it can seem a little bit complicated and you know, how does this all work? How do I bill all these? But you nailed it. So that's a perfect summary of the health insurance plans. And a good biller is going to help you organize all this. It's not so complicated that it's an administrative nightmare. If you have the right supports in place, it's easy to put this all in order.
Okay, so I mean, I'm going to finish this conversation with you. I'm going to go talk to my wife, and I'm going to be like, so for you to get paid, you need to submit your claims to some form of accredited billing provider, and that's kind of the end of the game. And obviously, for her to be doing that, she's likely getting paid on like a fee-for-service model or an ARP or an APP model. Would that be kind of accurate if I'm going to go and chat with her at dinner and be like, hey, this is how I have an idea of what's going on now?
You're right in there, Joel, for sure. Okay. So pretty much like no matter where you work in Canada, you're going to be submitting, as a physician, you are going to be submitting those, your health claims to that insurance provider in your province. You know, we didn't get too much into it in this podcast, and there can be a huge learning curve to learning those billings. But I think you have a really great understanding now about how that works.
All right. So I got a pretty good idea of like what it takes. I'm guessing, obviously, you guys take care of some of this. So if somebody's wanting to get in touch with you guys, what exactly does Stacco do? Which portion of this, all of this craziness do you guys take care of? What do you clean up for your clients, the doctors? What is it exactly that you guys do?
We handle it all. So as you have sort of started to grasp over this last few minutes, it can be complicated, right? And it's a lot to sort out and figure out, all while trying to treat your patients, right? So we kind of take that stress out of it. We help educate our clients so that they can recognize some of these. They can recognize, you know, when they have private patients, or so they have a good understanding about how billing works. But we don't make it stressful for them. So we handle all provincial healthcare claims, out of province, WCB, Medavi Blue Cross, private patients that have insurance coverage, private patients that have no coverage. We definitely handle that all. You can check out our website at stacco.ca, and you could reach out to me by my personal email at phoebe@stacco.ca. Thanks so much for listening.
Awesome. Can't wait to have you guys back.
Thanks so much, Joel.